and verse number 5. John chapter 1, verse number 5. The Bible says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the wonderful opportunity we have, Lord, to gather together, Lord, in your name, and we know that you are here with us as your word promises. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we look at your word. I pray that you would give us direction, and I pray that you would bind Satan and his demons. I pray your word would fall on good ground and that it would grow in our hearts and in our lives. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified with our service, our preaching time this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read this passage of Scripture, we read about the Lord Jesus, and we read about the creation of all that there is. We read about this account in Genesis chapter 1 when God made man from the dust of the ground, and the Bible says he breathed in man's nostrils and man became a living soul. And God made him and God gave him life. And now we look at our society today, and life is under attack. The Bible says the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief has come to kill and to destroy and to steal life. But Jesus said, "I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." And how can we have this life? Well, the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Jesus Christ is the one that gives light. Someone penned these words. They said, "All around me, Lord of life, my world is tumbling in. And there is nothing sure and nothing safe from gossip, greed, and sin. And yet I know thy pardon, Lord, and thy forgiving power, and through the storms of life each day, thy trust sustains each hour. Oh, help me climb above the storms and beat men down each day, and glimpse a bit of heaven on earth along life's burdened way. Help me to know thy nearness, Lord, I cannot walk alone. So let me feel thy guiding hand through every path unknown. I do not want to know the goal of what tomorrow brings. One step, one hour, one gleam of light to make my spirit sing. And I shall walk through mist or rain, through storm or summer's day, if I but know you're by my side along each changing day." You know, it's no secret that God makes the difference in our lives. And our world thinks that life is better without God. But we as believers know that life is better because God is present with us. The Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, Jesus is not someone that we just tag on to our life. No, for a Christian, Jesus is everything. Christ is our everything. We as Christians know the blessing of knowing Christ. He is the giver of life, and he provides abundant life to us. And he's the one that helps us and keeps us each day. And so light has come into the world, the Bible says in the book of John. And yet, sadly, there are many who reject that light. The Bible says in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, The Bible says, and Agrippa, this is King Agrippa, said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Paul's prayer for King Agrippa was that he would experience the very peace that he had in his heart. He would that this king or governors or Jews or Gentiles shared the hope of the glorious inheritance and were like himself at peace with God. Because even though Paul was physically in bonds in prison, yet he was spiritually free. And this made all the difference in the world. And Paul understood that for someone to become a Christian, they're going to have to accept the light that has been given to them. And they would have to turn to Jesus. On August 30th, 2005, Coast Guard Lieutenant Lane McConnell was ordered to fly his H-46 helicopter to New Orleans and to keep the machine flying around the clock, which would in turn become heroic rescue effort. None of his crew were prepared for what they were about to see. As they were ahead of every news crew in the nation, the entire city of New Orleans was underwater. On the first three missions that day, they saved 89 people. But on the fourth mission, despite 12 different flights to New Orleans, he and his crew was able to save no one. None. They all refused to board the helicopter. Instead, they told the Coast Guard to bring them food and water. Yet they were warned that what they were about to face was extremely dangerous. And yet, sadly, many of these people perished because of their refusal for help. And how sad it is today, our world today has refused the light that has been provided. There are a lot of people today who have claimed to have light or be light. But yet the Bible says in our text in John chapter 1 that Jesus is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus is the true light, and Jesus is the answer. I got this postcard, this email actually. I received this email after someone received one of our There Is Hope postcards. And the response to me, as the pastor of the church, after receiving one of these postcards in their mailbox, said this. They said, we respect your right to practice your religion, but we do not appreciate your attempts at proselytizing. Our region is home to people of many diverse beliefs, including those who do not believe in deities. Imploring non-Christians to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ is highly disrespectful of their chosen faith and of those of us who are agnostic and atheist. And it is arrogant to expect that pushing your ideology on others will change your mind. The reality is that I'm not looking to change anyone's mind. But the gospel still has power to change lives today. And the reality, it is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I want us to notice this passage of scripture, if I could, this morning, and let me give you some thoughts. First of all, if you're taking notes, would you write it down? Number one, the coming of the light. The coming of the light. So the Bible says in John 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, when you look at life from the eyes of humanity, when you look at life from the world's perspective, life just doesn't make any sense. Someone said this about life, forgive me, Lord, of my little jokes on thee. And thou forgive thy great big one on me. Speaking of life. Someone said, my life has a superb cast, but I just can't figure out the plot. It was Charles Schwartz that said, I think I've discovered the secret of life. You just hang around until you get used to it. Jim Carrey said this, I think everyone should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed so that they can see that it's not the answer. Someone said, why torture yourself when life will do it for you? Abraham Cowley said, life is an incurable disease. Now, people have been asking these questions about life for generations. What is the purpose of life? What is the reason of our existence? We know that the experience of others, and the Bible teaches us that money and fame and material gain and promotion and success, all of these things do not complete life. Solomon often asked the questions, what is the purpose of life? He was one who searched and sought for meaning in his life. And he wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 14, he says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. And there are countless people in our world today that are searching for meaning because life in itself is empty. It is empty. One person described life as this way. He said, I go and I dig a hole in order to make money, to get strength, to dig the hole. In order to make money, to get strength, to dig the hole. And that's how they saw life. It was meaningless and no purpose. And yet the Bible teaches us that our purpose in life is found in Jesus Christ. You see, God created us to have a relationship with Him. But that relationship was marred because of sin. And John teaches us this very truth about our life in verse 4. The Bible says, in Him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. And what that passage of Scripture is talking about is that the completeness of our life is found in Jesus Christ. What the meaning of our life is, that what satisfies our life, what gives meaning or understanding to life and to death is found in Jesus, because we were created to glorify God. But in ourselves, we are separated from God. And yet humanity desires to commune with God, desires to know God. And knowing God is only found in Jesus Christ. Now, I know that's a bold statement today, that salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. I know that's a bold statement today in a world, or may I say a country, that believes that truth is not absolute but relative. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, I believe everyone is born with the knowledge that there must be a creator. I don't think that atheists are natural, they're learned, they're taught. The Bible says in John 1 verse 9 that Jesus was the true light, and He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And we have the knowledge of God today. God has made Himself known. Salvation, or the existence of God, is not something hidden. It's not a secret society. No, God has made Himself known today through creation, through our conscience, through world history, and through the Bible, His Word. God is in the business of revealing. And He's revealed Himself to this world. In fact, in the very beginning of the Bible, God doesn't even begin an argument or try to prove His existence. It just says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's a declaration. And salvation and knowing God is not something that's hidden away. But humanity are taught to reject that light, or they are deceived and turning away from that light. And yet God offers salvation, and he offers satisfaction to all that would just receive the light. John chapter 4, would you turn there with me? John chapter 4, if you're in John chapter 1, just a few pages ahead. And notice what Jesus says here to the woman at the well in John chapter 4 and verse 10. The Bible says in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Now, Jesus is not talking about physical water here. He's talking about life and light. He's talking about satisfaction. And by receiving the salvation that is offered through the Messiah, this woman could experience for the first time in her life true satisfaction and true meaning in her life, purpose for living, because light has come into this world. Not only do I notice in this scripture the coming of light, but notice, if I could, the correction in the light. The correction in the light, number two. The Bible says in verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, that word there, comprehend, it's an old English word. It means to siege or to overtake. And the Bible says that light has come into the darkness, but the darkness could not overtake the light. The darkness could not siege the light. This light was brought into the world like a wonderful sunset, and the darkness could not contain it. All of the devil's foot soldiers tried to contain that light, but they could not. They could not comprehend it. And the Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ, and he entered into this world with a message, and he preached, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He preached that all men would come to the light in verse 6, and there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, speaking of Jesus, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I think of the many inventions that have been brought into this world that have been built on rejections. And the world is filled with religions today that are built on the foundation of rejecting the true light. God sent a messenger, and God's messenger cried in the wilderness, and yet humanity still rejected the Messiah. In verse 11, the Jews rejected him, his very own, the Creator God, the one who made them, the Creator God, the one who came so that they could understand life and have light. The Creator God, that he came to give them eternal life and abundant life, and yet he was rejected. He was turned aside. But why? Why do people reject such a wonderful message? In John chapter 3, it's a wonderful chapter in our Bible. If we could move forward here, John chapter 3, Jesus is speaking to a man named Nicodemus. It's interesting because Nicodemus was a religious man. And Jesus is having a conversation with him in John chapter 3, verse 16, probably one of the most quoted or known verses in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus did not come into the world to judge the world or to point fingers at the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I don't know your perspective of God, but God is a loving God and a God who cares about us deeply. That when we were lost and yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn it, but that they might be saved. And verse 18 says, and he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Someone will say, well, what do I have to do to go to hell? You don't have to do anything. You're already on that pathway. You're already condemned because of your sin. But notice the condemnation. You see, the issue is not our sin. The issue is the rejection of the light. Because the Bible says in verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You know, we notice some things, important truths about this light. First of all, God came, or light came from God himself. God so loved. How much did God love? He so loved. There's an adverb there. How much? So loved. He so loved the world that he gave. The darkness of sin encircled the world. And yet God could not stand for his creation to be separated from him, because God made us to have a relationship with him. The Bible says that humanity, creation, was the pinnacle of all creation. We're the apple of his eye. And God could not stand for us to be separated from him. And so before God ever placed a star in the sky, God knew of the decision of humanity. And God ordained that his Son would die on a cross. Isaiah says in verse 9 and verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And through the Son would come salvation, and the Son would bring light into this dark world. And many would not accept this light. Why? Because the Bible says the world rejects the light because they love darkness. Verse number 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. By the way, that's a second perfect active indicative. It's a permanent result. Light has come into the world. That will never change. Salvation is available to all who receive in him. The Bible says, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The judgment is not the light coming, but the judgment is the rejection of that very light. And so many people today refuse to come to the light because of the sinful lure. They fall in love with their darkness, and therefore they reject the light. Yet a pathway always has a destination. And the Bible teaches us that the wages of our sin is death. But the rejection of light results in hating the light. You see, it's one thing for someone to reject the light, but all of a sudden they start hating the light. And they don't want other people to hear and see the light. The Bible says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Because light reveals. You know, we're in darkness, we turn on the light, we begin to see. We might not like what we see, but it reveals and it reproves. And people don't want to come to the truth because they don't want to be reproved. They don't want to be proved wrong. They reject the light, and then they hate the light, and they even try to change the light. But they don't want other people to come to the light. And it's a sad reality that people would rather sit in the dark and enjoy the darkness than to come to the light, because they want to stay on their pathway and do their own thing and live their own life. And we will have no one tell us what to do. We will have no king over us. And so God has come and he sent his son, and his son offers light. And yet the rejection of light is because of the very change or the reproof in that light. And people say, no light for me. I'll live in my life in the darkness. But I want us to think also, if we could, in this passage of Scripture, I want us to think about the change in the light. The correction in the light, but notice the change in the light. The Bible says here in this passage of Scripture, verse 12, I love this, but as many as received him. We notice in this passage of Scripture a conjunction that makes a big difference. I mean, we look at this passage of Scripture and it's a pretty negative Scripture. I mean, light has come and men have rejected light. Even the Jews, God's own, have rejected the light. And it seems like all is lost. But then there's that conjunction. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Many want to do their own thing. They want to rebel against God, their creator. They shake their fist at God and they say, you cannot tell us how to live our life. The rejection of the light turns even to hate for the light. And they despise the light so much that instead of just taking a simple postcard that says there is hope and dropping it in the recycling bin for those who reject it, that many have done probably countless of times. No, they thought it important to go on a website and find a pastor's email and then write an email to the pastor saying, how dare you tell me that I am wrong? Because their rejection of the light has turned to hate for the light. And now it's their mission that other people don't receive the light. But I'm glad today that there are still those that receive the light. And I believe with all my heart that the gospel still has the power to save. I believe that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the gospel still has the ability to change the lives of people to those who will receive the light. And so I don't care what email I receive. We preach the gospel. And we tell people of Christ. Think about their position for just a moment. Those that receive the light have been given the right or the privilege. They have been given power to be called the children of God. Now, the Bible says that we were the enemy of God. I mean, think about this for just a moment. We were the enemy of God. We were in darkness. We were separated from God. And now their position, they're the children of God. That's incredible. To be the enemy of God and now a child of God? To be a joint heir with Christ? We notice not only their position, but can you notice the pathway there to those that believe in his name? To receive is to believe. It's to trust in Jesus, to, by faith, to accept that Jesus is not a way to heaven, but he's the only way to heaven. It's to believe by faith and to confess that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God, that he died on a Roman cross, but he rose again on the third day, and that he is truly the hope of our life, that he came so that we can have remission of our sins and that we could have a home in heaven through him. And so we notice their position and their pathway, but notice their power in verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And this indeed is an incredible change. It's not based on someone manufacturing some salvation. It's not someone looking up the creeds of a Christian and acting on those beliefs or those actions. No, true salvation begins inwardly, and it begins by putting our trust and faith in Christ. And then the Bible says we're born again, or we're begotten, we're made alive in Jesus by the power of God. Salvation is the greatest miracle that could ever happen in someone's life. For us to step out of the darkness and to step into the light is the greatest thing that could ever happen to a person. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, listen as I read, speaking of Jesus and his salvation. The Bible says, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us, or he has placed us, into the kingdom of his dear Son. God has snatched us from the very grip of the devil, and he has placed us in his family, and he has given us purpose and meaning and his Spirit to help us. And we are translated into a whole new family. It's a wonderful blessing to know the Lord. A wonderful blessing. This afternoon, I'm going to preach a message, just a sermonette, if I could say, about what happens when a people forgets God and what happens to a nation when people forget God. But the hope of our country is not politics or policies. It's important for us as Christians to understand the hope of this country is the gospel. And we need to keep preaching the gospel and being a light this dark and perverse world. And there will be those who will reject and those who will hate. But if just one more soul puts their faith and trust in Jesus, then it's worth all of it. All of it. Light has come into the world. Jesus died for our sins so that we could have a home with him. And yet many around us have rejected the light. They have clung to their darkness, they hate the light, and those that come to the light enjoy the blessing of the light. And so the question is, first of all, do you know the Lord today? Are you a Christian? And Christian, because we are in the light, are we living out that light each and every day? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity we have. And I pray, Lord, that you would